This is a CBC podcast.
Saskatchewan's premier testified before a federal finance committee yesterday. Scott Moe wants to stop the federal government from hiking the carbon tax as planned on April 1st.
You know, my question to this committee would be if we were to lower, not increase, but to lower or eliminate the what will be 17 cents per liter of fuel charged to all Canadians coming this Monday when they fuel their vehicle up to take their children to soccer, to hockey, or to whatever sport or school that they might be going to. What do you think that would do to our consumer price index across the nation? We'd likely achieve our 2%. We're at 2.7% now. And I think that would be positive. And it would give the Bank of Canada the opportunity, hopefully, to start to lower the interest rate, start to solidify that certainty for investment, both foreign and domestic, into Canadian communities and Canadian industries, which, again, I would allude to, are the most sustainable in the world. The Saskatchewan story around the most sustainable food and fuel and fertilizer that we produce and provide to the world is Ontario has a parallel story. Quebec has a parallel story. This is a story that we told when we went to COP28 in Dubai. And this is a story that we would encourage each of you as federal members representing Canadians, all of us collectively representing all Canadians, to share at every opportunity. We are not climate laggards in this nation. We most certainly are innovators and leaders when it comes to addressing the challenges that we might face globally.
That's Saskatchewan's premier answering questions at a federal finance committee yesterday. The carbon tax is set to increase on Monday. For more on that and the rest of this week's political news, we've got our panel in. Jeremy Symes is the Saskatchewan correspondent with the Canadian Press in Regina, and Murray Mandrick is a political columnist with the Regina Leader Post. And they both join us a day early due to Easter this weekend. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Jeremy, how did the premier come to speak at this federal committee?
Right. So this committee is chaired by a Conservative MP, and this member invited the Premier to speak about the carbon tax going up on April 1st. The Premier says he wanted to speak at another committee, but because that committee is chaired by a Liberal MP, he didn't hear back. So he found another way to do it through this committee. And at the start, about 15 minutes in, members on both sides, Liberals and Conservatives, were bickering back and forth about the Premier's appearance, whether or not he should be speaking, whether or not they were following procedure, accusing each other of just wanting to get clips on social media. Anyways, after that ended, the Premier did get to speak about the carbon tax going up by $15 a ton to $80 per ton starting April 1st. He started off his speech saying he was wearing a red tie as a gesture of collaboration. But, you know, he says this carbon tax going up is going to hurt consumers, it's going to add to inflation, and it's just not fair for businesses, he says. So he's among many premiers in Canada across the country opposed to this. We're going to see Alberta Premier Daniel Smith and Blaine Higgs of New Brunswick also testify at this committee. And so after the Premier fielded questions from members, the Prime Minister came out and he says Moe and other Conservative premiers are lying about the carbon price. The Prime Minister says, you know, people do get rebates, and the rebates they get more rebates back than what they do pay in the tax. And the Prime Minister also challenged the premiers to have their own climate plans. Now, Moe was asked about this as well at the committee, asked about what Saskatchewan's climate change plan is. He was also challenged on why he hasn't removed the PST and is instead going in this route. Now, the Premier says, you know, Saskatchewan does have its own climate plan. We have an OBPS system, which is where industry gets to pay carbon pricing into tech funds, and that's used to lower emissions. And he also says that if people followed Saskatchewan's example, other countries, we would see fewer global emissions.
Murray, what do you think Scott Moe thought he would accomplish?
Well, that's a good question, Steph, and if I get to talk to him today, I will ask that question on your behalf. But yesterday I did not get to talk to him because they chose to do national media, power and politics, etc., and maybe that's your answer. So in lieu of not actually having an answer from the Premier, allow me to speculate. And I think it's pretty much as Jeremy described. It's basically looking for the clip, looking for an ability to get a political message out, not necessarily on his behalf in this particular occasion in my speculation, but probably on behalf of Pierre Poilievre and the Conservatives, why he was at the particular finance committee. I'm not 100% sure, because this probably had not that much to do directly with budgeting issues. That said, I think there is a conversation to be had here. We don't have meetings between the federal and provincial leaders anymore in first ministers' conferences because the animosity between the two of them right now, or between all of them right now, this is how we tend to communicate far too much in this country. And it's a little sad because there's actually an interesting argument. There's an interesting argument from Scott Moe's standpoint because, as we all know, greenhouse gases aren't necessarily going down in this country. There's serious questions to be asked about whether the carbon tax, carbon levy, is actually working in this country, or whether, as Moe proposes, there's a better way. Unfortunately, he's not proposing a better way. Is he lying about the whole issue of how he portrays the carbon tax? Well, somewhat, in the as Trudeau says, although Trudeau's comments are decidedly unhelpful. The provincial premiers, like most, seldom mention the rebate. But that said, the federal leaders like Trudeau seldom mention that maybe greenhouse gases aren't being lowered to the level that they need to be lowered, or that it's accomplishing as much as everybody thinks, or the Liberals think it's going to accomplish. So we need these conversations. We need to have better dialogue. Yesterday was not the place for it. Yesterday seemed to be the place for political theater. And as I say, that's a bit unfortunate because we have a big, serious issue in front of us as to the cost of this. And basically what happens if we don't have action on climate change and what the end result is. But we're not having those bigger conversations right now.
And, of course, the legislature continued on, and we heard from more people concerned about health care despite record spending there. Jeremy, what's the latest?
Right. So the opposition raised issues we're seeing in our healthcare system this week during question period. One of their guests was Shannon Orell Bast, and she was diagnosed with cancer in August 2022. She had 16 rounds of chemotherapy, a double mastectomy, and countless other treatments. And so she was saying during her time navigating the system, it was really challenging. And the healthcare staff that she met along the way were also burned out and were also struggling and just didn't feel listened to. So she was at the legislature just raising those concerns about, you know, that she experienced and that other patients are experiencing, and she really wants the province to do something about it, make the system better that works well for patients but also for healthcare staff. Now, Health Minister Everett Hindley says, you know, Saskatchewan is working on a plan. They have this four-point plan to recruit more staff, particularly from overseas, and retain more as well, whether that's through incentives and what have you. He says the province is also going to have a new breast health center in Regina next year by the latest. Now, Ms. Orell Bast and the opposition have said, you know, this breast health center is a start, but we do need to have more people to go with these new machines and with these new buildings. You just can't have that alone. And now the minister says, you know, that this new center will help with retention just because it's supposed to make it easier for people to get care, and an easier system, he says, would make it more people more willing to work in and stay working.
Murray, how responsive is the government's budget to some of these concerns?
Well, it's obviously better because we are putting money, as we talked about last week, towards several things, and sending people to Calgary, while a temporary fix, is a non-starter, as I think Ms. Orell Bast and even the minister acknowledged. I was fascinated by her presence because it wasn't about the money necessarily. It was about the root problem within healthcare, and she offered a fascinating perspective because she's a social worker that helps people work their way through the health system, and she just happens to be a social worker with that job that unfortunately has been afflicted by cancer and is going through a torturous situation for the last 4 years, in which she's trying to work her way back to being able to work in that health system, and now seeing it from the eyes of how difficult it is for even a patient, one that actually fully understands how to work the way through the system, to get the immediate diagnostic treatment and other treatment that she needs, that she said the other day, she struggled to get, not because she didn't know how to access it, but because they did not have the personnel available. Her message is that you're not respecting these people. They're going to where they can or feel that they can get a little bit more respect. And that is a reoccurring message for this government. And it's not just healthcare workers. We're hearing the same thing from teachers. We're hearing the same thing from a lot of public service servants who basically look at the way the government conducts itself. She talked about the certain level of almost contempt the government demonstrated for other healthcare workers that happened to be there on that particular day she was there, and they were sort of either ignored or not listened to when they were being introduced. And normally you don't pay much attention to that, but you know she's right, and it's all part of a sad pattern of an older government that kind of sees everybody as its enemy, sees teachers as demanding too much, and no teacher is going to tell us how they're going to spend their money, etc. Well, you know, it really is a question of who do you want to fly the plane. You don't get to vote on it when you're a passenger. You select people to do that job because they have the abilities to do that job, so maybe they should be listened to. And I think the government's forgotten that message. And that was the message I think she brought to the legislature. And it was a strong one that, you know, I appreciate the fact that she put it in the way that she did.
Thanks very much, you guys.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.